This is KTOO's Juneau Afternoon. Our next guest is from the Central Council of the Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska. Going to give us an update about how the council and organizations are sending food support to outlying communities. Jamie Ann Hasselquist is here with us. Jamie Ann, thanks so much for coming in and talking to us.
Thank you as well. It's nice to be here.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic.
It's wild times here in the world, but we're adjusting. Yeah. And you guys have really stepped up and stepped into the forefront of making sure that you're supporting outlying communities, especially ones that are affected by some of the pullback in services from the Alaska Marine Highway System. Tell me a little bit about how that developed, that you decided we need to take action here in this issue.
Well, President Peterson decided that he wanted to take action a couple weeks ago. He contacted me on a Saturday, and I was actually in the middle of a weaving class, but he sent me a message and asked if I had a few minutes. So we spoke, and he asked me to spearhead this so that we could help the outlying communities. And I think some of it was inspired by the Alaska Native Sisterhood, who had began the process in Sitka. And they started boxing things up and sending them out. And we were just one step behind them in that process. And it was just hit the ground running on Monday. And so for 2 weeks, it's just been a Monday for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what communities are you concentrating on servicing?
Our first community that we were concentrating on was Angoon. They were really struggling out there. But we were also concentrating on Cake and Huna. And then at some point, Cake was doing okay. And so there's a few quiet communities out there that we weren't hearing from. And I just thought of them and started making phone calls. Gustavus, Tenneke, and Pelican, who don't have any ferry service in sight, are really, there's not a whole lot of population in each of those communities, but they are an extension of our community, and anyone who's walking on Ha'ani, our lands, we want to extend that care out. So we contacted them, and we've got some good shipments going out to them on Monday.
Can you give a picture that from what you've seen and talked to of people living in these outlying communities of how life has changed for them?
It's been a struggle. There's elders who are having a really hard time getting food in their cupboards, and just that's one of our cares. You know, we really want to help the elders and make sure that they're taking care of anyone with dietary needs, and then people with children, and then the extended community after that. So
that's it, you step through sort of a priority list when you look at the communities. You're trying to assess how many people of a certain kind of need level almost are there? How many elders? How many people? Is that sort of the process?
That's basically the process. And what's going on is we've reached out to all the different tribes in the communities. So Tlingit and Haida is directly dealing with the Angoon Community Association and then the extension of the senior center beyond that in that community. For Huna, we have Huna Indian Association and then the senior center also. For some outlying communities, if we don't have an Indian association, then I've been just going straight to the city and having them figure out what their process is going to be. And since each one of these organizations already has, they already know what their community outline is.
Yeah,
and
right,
yeah, so they,
right.
We're just gathering all of the wonderful donations from our community here in Juneau, and it's been such a wonderful outpour. And just shipping it to those communities and having them do their distributions.
So how's the logistics of shipping to those communities? How does that work?
It's been fun.
Yeah. It's been fun.
We have to give really big props out to Super Bear. We've been collecting all of these items around town at each of our Tlingit and Haida locations, and then as well as Fred Meyer, the student council out at the University of Alaska, put together a resolution, and kudos to them. They are just really moving right along in their political process in life. And so they're going to start collecting. Office Max is collecting. And then all those items are gathered up, some of them by our crew, and then some Fred Myers has just taken it straight to Super Bear. Super Bear sorts it all out, puts it in boxes by community, and then they were sending shipments out on their donations that they've been collecting out there for a few weeks.
And are they flying them out, or how is it getting out
there?
That's
really what's going on. But we also have some people who have fishing vessels, other vessels who have just taken things to different communities. We had one fishing vessel picked up 844 pounds and took it to Angoon.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we've got – there's another vessel that is doing some free shipments for the community of Angoon. They're collecting things the past couple days, and I believe they take off tomorrow.
So. Are there things in particular that are of need? Are there certain items that –
Toilet paper. No, I joke.
I know. Well, this is, you know, I mean, this is an interesting thing to think about. You know, I was at Costco today and it was a madhouse. Mm-hmm. It's an interesting thing to think about the way the communities donate in normal times versus how that sort of flow of donations may be affected by what's happening now with this, with everyone feeling like they have to have 2 years of toilet paper on hand, you know. I mean, so how – I'm just going to be interesting just to see how – I mean, obviously, you don't know how that's going to work yet because it's yet to be seen. But
yeah, we don't know, really.
Yeah,
this is all brand new for us, and it's bigger than Y2K.
Right.
So the food is, of course, was, you know, a high priority and need, but then there's also the sundry items that we're focusing on. People do need toilet paper. They things could get really uncomfortable after a while.
Right.
And so then there was toothpaste, deodorants, and
just
you name
daily
it.
Living things. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
And feminine products,
sure.
And things, products for the elders. And yeah, there's just been a lot of different items. I traveled over to Huna last week for a distribution, and it was just amazing how much food was available that went out, and the elders were the priority. So they had a system where they had 62 bags for their elders, and they went out and hand-delivered them. And then that took quite a while, and HIA really put in a lot of work, and you know, they know their community members, they're involved with them, they're just really a strong community. So to see them go out and deliver to the elders was very heart-touching. And then we had a food bank-style system set up, so then people within the community were coming straight to the facility and getting a bag and going shopping. So that was really lovely. And mm-hmm. that's kind of the approach that we were wanting to make, was to get the food to the communities and have a food bank style.
Have a centralized area where people mm-hmm. can come in the community, yeah,
right.
And get
but
what they need.
But also get the things out to the people who really needed it. So
right,
they
right.
handled it very
yeah.
well.
What's this ferry situation right as it stands right now? It's hard to predict the future, and it's hard to know how all of this other stuff that's going on is going to affect that.
Mm-hmm.
But as it stands right now, what sort of service is happening in those communities that you're serving?
I actually printed out 3 months of services, and I went through and highlighted them all by community so that it made it easier for us to look at. Haines and Skagway are just loaded up with services. And then Huna has a service, I believe, every other week. And then Angoon has one every other week this month. But then at the end of this month, they have 3 weeks before their next ferry, and then another 3 weeks again. So and then again, Tenneke, Pelican, and Gustavus have nothing at all. So with the coronavirus, who knows? We don't know what's going to happen with services in our state. And so it's it was a battle just to get some ferry services back online. And we're just going to have to see how everything plays out.
Mm-hmm. How can people help if they are wanting to make sure that these outlying communities that are still part of our area have the services they need and have the goods they need?
I think one of the things that we could use right now are monetary donations to help fill some of those gaps. There could be some dietary need gaps. And so then I could Instacart some shipments of fruit and things like that to those communities, and also use those funds for shipping because it is quite expensive. One of the planes we just chartered because it was such a huge shipment. So we chartered one plane to Huna, and then other things we're sending through seaplanes, which is $1.10, I believe, per pound. And just to give you an idea, we have right this minute boxed items at Super Bear totaling 2,507 pounds ready to go out to the communities. We got 631 pounds going to Gustavus, 415 to Tenneke, 411 to Pelican, Haynes is getting 276. And we have Airlift Northwest, who is a medical carrier, and they are donating one of their two planes to take that shipment to Gustavus. And we're planning on all that going out Monday.
Wow, that's a great contribution from them to do that.
Yeah.
But it is interesting when you think about these things. It's just like this poundage rate, but it's these basic needs that human beings have and need.
Yes.
And have counted on the ferry system for so many years to help provide for people's lifestyle. And with that gone, it's pretty tough times.
It really is because we've become dependent on a service and a system that has been placed for our communities and our people. And when that is not in place, then there's an emergency. I mean, those are real human beings out there that have medical needs and health care needs and just everyday needs.
Yeah.
And so we want them to not feel abandoned. Some of them feel like they're backed in corners. And it's just really helpful that we receive all these donations, generous donations, and get them out to the communities to alleviate some of the stress that they've been feeling.
Well, Jamie Ann Hasselquist from the Office of the President of the Central Council of Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes, thanks so much for coming in and letting us know about this effort. Is there a way that people – who should people contact, or what's a way that people can get to you with either cash donations or other types of donations or questions about this service?
Yeah, we could our webpage, our Tlingit and Haida webpage, on the very front page there on the right-hand panel, there's a link that says make a donation.
Okay.
You can make a donation through PayPal or Square, and just make sure you do a notation saying food drive in it. That will help allocate those funds to the direct place. And or you can call Davida, and she I'll give you her phone number, and it's 463-7703. Yeah.
Great.
One more thing I just want to say was I got off the phone with Super Bear before I came here, and besides those 2,507 pounds, they said that there were two more pallets that were delivered.
Oh, that's great.
So it really is great. Yeah, Juno is just amazing. Hashtag communities pulling together, and we really appreciate everything that all the people in the communities have been doing to pull together, and you putting it on the airwaves. So Gunnar Cheesh for that.
Thank you so much.
If I stay here, trouble will find.